seated. Are we on? Test. Hello. Not that it means a whole lot for me to be amplified. I can be loud. It's just my mom will want to know where the recording is. So I have to make sure that that's working each time. I hope that you've been faithfully crying out for breakthrough.
Amen.
There's just something about the unity of the body of Christ praying the same thing. Praying it over your families, praying it over your ministries, your work, whatever it is you're facing. And let me just say this. Don't be shocked if, like, and some of you probably experienced this, temptation just increased this past week, maybe even some challenges. We have an enemy to contend with. He's not going to stand around and say, okay, they're praying, I'm going to get out of the way. But I believe you've probably experienced some breakthrough. One is, you know, we talked about that, just being honest with our need. That's the beginning place. Read the Psalms. I'm poor and needy, Lord. We never cease to have that condition. And then learning to follow, obey, and trust and surrender to Jesus on a deeper level. And the Holy Spirit is going to continue to be faithful to show us what that looks like. And in His Word today, we're going to be back in the book of John, in John chapter 15, and you can, if you want to follow along there. But I just want to say, He is going to be faithful to show you what it means to follow Him, to trust Him, to surrender to Him on a daily basis. He's going to be faithful to do that. So let's pray together once again in unity. We do know one thing for sure. When we talk about breakthrough in our own lives and lives around us and communities and with loved ones, that there's one ingredient without a doubt, and that's prayer. When God's people would cry out for it, God is faithful to answer that. So let's pray. Gracious Father, grant us breakthrough. Grant us breakthrough this morning. Let our fears and doubts dissipate in Your presence. May we encounter You in the preaching of the Word. You, Jesus, You show us the way. Holy Spirit, You comfort, You convict, You exhort, You encourage. Do what You need to do. We open our hearts to You this morning. Let it be for everyone here, Lord, regardless of our condition, what we're struggling with, whatever it is today. Minimize distractions, Lord. Drive it far from this place, any attempts of the enemy, Lord, to impede what You're trying to accomplish today. In Jesus' name, drive Him far from us, from our hearts and minds in this place. We look to You and we trust that You're going to continue to provide breakthrough. In Jesus' name, amen. We've talked about how John was in a very difficult place when he wrote this book, somewhere between 70 and 100 AD. It was a dark place. I think sometimes we elevate the people of Scripture to a status that just didn't exist. I mean, John's friends have been killed. Most of the disciples have been martyred. Jerusalem is destroyed. The temple is gone. There's no central place of worship. And we think that he wrote this in Ephesus. And he didn't have the luxury of hindsight that we have. We see how Christianity has impacted the world. He didn't have that. I'm sure he was thinking, you know, it might be over. This might not work. I mean, you know, struggling with those same fears and doubts in that difficult place. And he pens these words, this incredible imperative command in John 14, 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And then he starts saying, you know, I'm commanding you to do this. And it is a command. Okay? But he says, this is why you should trust me. And the next several chapters is why Jesus is saying, this is why you should believe in me. This is why you should begin to and continue to entrust your life to me. Your entire life. Take yourself off the throne and entrust your life to me. And this is why you should do that. And he's going to unpack these things. And we've talked about an assured future. We've talked about him giving us his ability and him giving us the opportunity to participate in his grand story purpose, to completely reverse the effects of sin and redeem all things in Christ. Wow! We've been invited to participate in that. And He's promised us a helper that will remind us and show us the way. That's why I told Jane, play that again for the sermon hymn. Show us your way, Lord. And He's going to do that. And He certainly does that today in John chapter 15. Let me read a few verses here. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Wow! By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That wow was thrown in by me, by the way. I mean, you know, this incredible. This text is really a summary metaphor for the majority of Jesus' teachings. I mean, it all comes together here. This is one of those life texts. And I know for many of you it is. I know for Chad, if you're around him, he's going to talk about this, about abiding in Jesus. This is one of those incredibly deep, life text, a summary metaphor for much of Jesus' teaching. It's really comparing the breakthrough of fruitfulness versus the dark and dry place of fruitlessness. The breakthrough of fruitfulness versus the dark and dry place of fruitlessness. I'm going to say it again. The enemy cannot snatch you from the hands of Jesus. You have assurance in Christ, but His ultimate goal from now until you go home to be with Him is to render you ineffective or fruitless. It's what He wants to do because He doesn't want you to have the impact that we see in verse 8, which is really should be our chief ambition. Listen to that again. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Listen to me. Don't lose that ambition to be fruitful. Don't let the enemy snatch that from you. It's not too late. You've not done too much wrong. It's no time for regret. Let this be your ambition to be effective for Him. I want to hang a banner up that says 300 with a question mark. So that every Sunday we're confronted with it. And what does that mean? You know, Gideon started with 10,000 and Jesus took it down to 300. I mean, I want to be a part of that army of God that is known in heaven and is feared in hell. Amen. Let that ambition stir in your heart. Never let it go away. And I'm not talking about this false image of superhero Christianity. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being faithful and fruitful wherever God has you, whatever circumstance you're in, whatever place you're in, being faithful and fruitful. Let that be your ambition. Let the Holy Spirit stir that in your hearts. I was at a luncheon about, you know, a couple weeks ago. You know, we do our monthly luncheons at the school, and there was this high-profile Christian that was supposed to come. He's the pastor of a megachurch, published author, and all these things. And you should have seen as he came in, it was like people want to run up and get autographs from him or something. Even Barbara Barker was like, oh, I've got to meet him. I kind of told everybody until he came I was going to pretend he didn't exist. That was in my own flesh. Because he's been invited for a couple of years, and nobody's that busy. But, you know, sitting, you know, 10 seats away from him was Mama Gross. And Mama Gross is in her 80s. She doesn't have two nickels to her name. And she's just a faithful intercessor. I mean, she's spent her life loving on children and the elderly. And I was sitting there, I was just kind of comparing the two in my mind and thought, if Jesus walked in, who would he be most drawn to hang out with? And I thought, I think Mama Gross. It's not about this superhero flashy stuff that we buy into in this culture. It's about being faithful and fruitful wherever God has us. That's what I want. I want to be your chief ambition. Right now, high school, college, on the job, in the house, on the farm, wherever it is. I want to be faithful. Mom, dad, worker, minister, be faithful and fruitful right where you have me. And we get some insight here of how to be fruitful. So let that stir in your heart. It's going to be a real simple, quick message today. It's going to be a three-part theme that I'm going to get to one part. In fact, I'm not going past five words in our text. Here's the theme we're going to unpack over the next few weeks. Now, next week, the patriarch's here. Hallelujah. Neat. Awesome. Robert Mayo was saying this has got to be God's favor that the patriarch, the father of the CEC, is here on Father's Day. We didn't sit together and strategize about that. I mean, he just looked at his calendar and said, this is the only time I'm available. If you don't see that as God's favor, wake up. All right, three-part theme. It's going to be very simple. Your search is ended. This is Jesus' words to us through John 15, I believe. Your search is ended. Your part is simple. Notice I didn't say easy. My part is miraculous. Your search has ended. Your part is simple, not necessarily easy. My part is miraculous. But I won't get past five words because the Holy Spirit just confronted me. Thursday morning, I was sitting out on my porch, and these words, he confronted me with a statement and a couple of questions. Thursday, I had some important meetings that affect the school and even affect the church and involve finances and real exciting stuff, to be honest with you, but stuff that I really want to happen. I mean, you know, I really want to happen. I believe it's God's will and all that. And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit knows me. Okay, he's intimately acquainted with you and I. And he knows this guy that grew up in a middle to upper middle class community and trustful, that there was this undercurrent of financial instability that I wasn't even aware of growing up. And it ended up being a real chief factor in my parents getting divorced and almost losing our home and going off to college and Christ at work in the midst of all that in my own heart and going back during the summers and staying in my grandmother's trailer. And that shift, and the Holy Spirit knows that one of the chief ways the enemy tries to grip me is financial instability or fear of financial failure and stress. And so, you know, he knows that. And he's so faithful to continue to deal with that fear. And so he confronted me with a couple of questions that morning. First, a statement, I am the true vine. We'll talk more about that. And then here was the questions that I believe the Holy Spirit was asking me. What are you looking for today? What do you think needs to happen in order for you to be satisfied and secure? See, what he was doing was offering me freedom. It really was. I'll talk more about that. This is a profound statement. That's why I'm not going to get past these five words. I am the true vine. Listen to what he's saying. I, God, I am. This is a deity statement. I am the only source of lasting life, period. The source of your hope, the source of your peace, the source of your security, the source of your joy, me alone, God, period. This is an unbelievably profound, powerful statement. And he was saying to me, I, God, am the only true source of lasting life, the only true source of peace, joy, security, hope that your soul longs for. And listen to me. And is tempted on a daily basis to search for elsewhere. Did you hear me? I'm going to say that again. I am the only source of peace, joy, security, hope that your soul longs for. And is tempted on a daily basis to search for elsewhere. That's why I couldn't get past these five words in my own heart and life. What he was confronting then with his disciples and now in us was our effort apart from him. That's what he's confronting. That's the great temptation. Man's effort apart from God. I've returned to one of my favorite books. It's a simple read, which I really enjoy, especially at this season in my life, which quiet time and without distraction is not readily available. In the Name of Jesus by Henry Nouwen. And his time in this mentally handicapped community and the lessons that he learned. I suggest it to you. I suggest it to you because it goes along with what I believe Jesus is saying to us through the preaching of the Word. Listen to what he says. The secular world around us is saying in a loud voice, we can take care of ourselves. We do not need God, the church, or a priest. We are in control. And if we're not, then we have to work harder to get in control. The problem is not lack of faith, but lack of competence. If you're sick, you need a competent doctor. If you're poor, you need a competent politician. If you have technical problems, you need a competent engineer. If there are wars, you need competent negotiators. God, the church, and the minister have been used for centuries to fill the gaps of incompetence. But today the gaps are being filled in other ways. And we no longer need spiritual answers to practical questions. That wave of secularization in our culture that is the culture uses, so does the demonic, and so does our flesh, is to separate us from our source, to tempt us to approach life apart from Him every day, and to try to draw life from other sources, to try to draw our peace, to try to draw our hope, to try to draw our security from other sources. And he's confronting, this morning, he's confronting our effort to do it apart from him and those idols that we erect and that we attempt to draw from that are lifeless. I guess I was 9 or 10 years old, I figured out that leather Nikes don't go with tough skin jeans. See, I had this, one of my siblings, I won't mention her name, I only have two sisters, I guess that takes it down to a little bit, but I didn't know what was cool or what wasn't. I mean, we shopped at Kmart then, and I had tough skin jeans. You remember those things? I mean, you couldn't destroy those things. And I had Trek shoes. And she started making fun of me for what I wore. You know, she started laughing and saying, you know, others are going to laugh at you. Look at what you're wearing. And that was a temptation to me to erect an idol and to draw from another source, really at a young age, to care more about what people think, listen to me, young people, than what Jesus thinks. That was a temptation to draw from another source. And so my grandmother, after much pleading, bought me my first pair of leather Nikes. Now, they didn't last long because they were terrible. They were cheap. The leather came off the soles, and it lasted like a month. But I was cool for about a month and had to have my Izods. And even JCPenney had the Fox. That was pretty cool. And you know, you got to have your Levi jeans or whatever that is. And that's a simple little story, but it's really a temptation that the enemy tries with all of us to draw our sense of who we are, our hope, and our peace from another source. And it becomes a form of bondage to be more concerned about what others think, to put those conditions. If I just had this, if so-and-so would just do this, what will other people think? Everyone has that. And then we begin to erect an idol from a false source and draw. And hear me, young people, you can be free. You can grow in freedom from those things where you don't have to be so concerned about what your peers think. What you have or don't have, who likes you, who doesn't, who you know, what you have, all those false sources. We do it as adults, don't we? Why? Because we're poor and needy. We never, that condition never leaves us, and the enemy continues to tempt us to draw from false sources, and the Holy Spirit is gently confronting that in us today. Carl, as he did that Thursday morning, what are you looking for today? What do you think needs to happen? What outcomes and results have you scripted that you think will bring you peace and security? As I look on in my day, what outcome do you think needs to happen to bring you peace and security? What are you searching for? Let the Holy Spirit Monday morning ask you those questions. What are you searching for? What do you think needs to happen today for your own peace and security? I am the true vine. Your search has ended. I am the only source, lifelong, lasting source of hope, of peace, of security, of everything your soul is searching for. Your search has ended. Jesus was confronted in the gospel reading on Friday. Have you been reading the gospel every day?
Amen.
I'm going to continue to say it. That's our church-wide goal. It's very simple. Take you 5 minutes. Read the gospel. Encounter Jesus in the gospel. Young people, don't rely on your parents' faith. Open the book. Read the gospel. Usually 5 or 6 verses. We talked about our missional mandate. You may have seen it on the wall this morning. Real people being transformed by Christ, responding to the mandate that all life is sacred, especially the most vulnerable among us. But it starts out with real people being transformed by Christ, encountering Jesus in the ways that He has provided. One of those ways is simply in the Holy Scriptures. And as a church, we want to be in unity, right? Levi means unity. That's why we named our baby Levi. Unity. We need unity. Let's go in the same direction. One simple request. Read the gospel every day.
Amen.
Let's be in unity there. And Jesus was tempted. You know, He told the disciples, it was on Friday, He said, this is going to happen to me. I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. And Peter said, no, we're not going to let it happen. And then Jesus, of course, you know the statements, get behind me, Satan, because, see, what was happening is Satan was using Peter to tempt Jesus to script another way around the Via Dolorosa. He was tempting him to rely on himself and to draw from another source than his heavenly Father. That's why he was so strong with Peter. It wasn't anything against Peter. It was a temptation to draw from another source. And the Holy Spirit is gently asking us a question this morning. What are you looking for? What do you think needs to happen for you to have peace, hope, and security? And if your answer is a circumstance that you have scripted, if it's, if I just had this job, just this financial security, if my kids would just do this or grow up and do that, if I get this or that, if my peers would think this of me, if I had a boyfriend, if I had a girlfriend, if I had this car, whatever that circumstance that we script, we could be erecting an idol and drawing from a source other than the true vine. And breakthrough this morning is simply confessing that. We're going to have a little altar time, Jane, come up here. It's not going to be long. This is the deal. I can't tell you where you are. Everybody comes in with different needs this morning. We're not going to have people come pray for you, but if the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart this morning, I want you to move your body in obedience, come up to this altar, and simply confess, I'm trying to draw from another source other than the true vine. And just lay it down. It doesn't have to be long. It's just an act of I'm moving my body in accordance to what you're doing in my heart. Kneel your knee right here and say, whatever it is, I'm trying to draw my security, my hope, and my peace, and my joy from a source other than the true vine. This is a time of prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're praying for breakthrough. This is where breakthrough begins and continues, is surrendering. I've erected an idol, Lord. I've erected an idol that I need this or that to happen in order for me to have joy and peace in my life and security. I'm drawing from or attempting to draw from a source other than the true vine. You, Jesus, are the only one. Tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, let the Holy Spirit continue to ask you, what are you looking for today? I'm the true vine. I'm the source of your joy and your peace. Your security is found in me. Your search has ended. Just lay it down.
Oh.
nothing lengthy, just lay it down. Whatever that idol that we erect. I've been dealing with this since I've been studying this text, or I'd be right beside you. What are you looking for, young people? What are you looking for? What do you think is going to bring you the joy and the happiness, the satisfaction? If you're looking from a source other than the true vine, you need to meet us up here today. A lot of adults saying, I'm poor and needy. Join us, young people. Where are you? I care more about what my peers think than Jesus. Not a problem with wanting to be liked. It's a problem when you rely on it. When it begins to rule your heart. Have a breakthrough this morning, young people. You're not too young to begin to confess, I'm poor and needy. I'm tempted to draw from other sources than Jesus, my hope and my satisfaction. It's your time for breakthrough, not just the big people's time. What is it? I think I gotta have this. Gotta have my own pair of leather Nikes, whatever that is for you. They don't sell those anymore. Breakthrough. Breakthrough, young people. Don't be distracted by your peer if the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart. Just a moment to say, I surrender. I don't care if you're 7 or 8 years of age. I think I gotta have this. I gotta have this technology. I gotta have this, whatever it is, this material possession in order to be happy. I don't need that, Jesus. I don't need that. You're the true vine. I'm yours. You're my Father. I'm forgiven. I'm set free. What more do I need? You're the true vine, Lord. Breakthrough, church. Breakthrough. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. What am I trying to draw from other than the true vine? What am I looking for today that I think is going to make me happy and secure? I am the true vine. Search has ended.